You all of you, how many of you been here to the Oyster Fleet before?
Yeah.
Quite a few, right. Our manager here, Francisco. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Frank?
Yeah.
Spanish guy. Great, great, great friend of mine. And we've worked together for now over 10 years. 4 years ago, I'm going to go on an adventure trip with my brother. He's invited me along. He said, I've got a chance. He said, we're going to go with some American friends on a trip to Asia. I'm going. I said, oh, good. Where are you going? He said, we're going to Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. I said, oh, great for you. He said, you could do with a rest. Why don't you come along? I said, well, how long are we going for? He said, 28 days. I thought, I've got to share a room with you for 28 days. But I couldn't appear to be ungrateful. But I sort of didn't want to go, but I agreed to go on this Asian adventure. And we're going to go up to the Mekong River, we're going to go to the Golden Triangle, we're going to drive through Laos in four-wheel drives, we're going into Vietnam, we're going in the tunnels, we're going to do the whole biff. Frank says to me, Francisco, 3 days before I left, Effie, he said, you are going on a long journey. I went, yeah. He said, what are you taking for protection? I said, well, Swiss Army knife. Couple of condoms, you never know your luck. I said, well, that's about it, Frank. He went, take a piece of sterling. You never know when you need a piece of sterling. I went, all right. You know how superstitious these Spanish people are. So the trip started off, and we're 3 days, we've flown into Bangkok, and we've changed planes, and we've gone up to the jungle area of Laos, and I was thoroughly enjoying this trip. I'd gone from not really sure I wanted to go. 4 days I'm into this. This is wonderful. This is interesting. Into native villages, the Golden Triangle, up in areas where there's still people lost in the jungle. This is the real deal. And on the itinerary, it's got 2 days by boat travelling down the Mekong River, 450 kilometres. I love a boat ride. I'm from Canby Island. So we've driven through the jungle, and all of a sudden we've entered. There it is, the mighty Mekong River, one of the most famous rivers in the world. And it's steaming down from the high Himalayas, all from top through Mongolia, China, and then it comes out through 4 or 5 countries and comes out into the South China Sea. This is exciting, and this is the main supply route. There are no roads up in this part of the world. Everything is done on the river. So there's quite big boats to take livestock and, you know, big barges, and they're hacking if they're against the current. They're struggling. If they're coming down, they're going down like a canal. We're on the downward run. I thought, wonderful. I thought, African queen, deck chair, me, beer, watching the world go by. And all of a sudden I heard this noise. What's that? It's a little speedboat. And it takes 6 people. You sit in it like this. It's got a great big engine on the back with a prop coming off it. And it does 40 miles an hour through the water. I love sailing. I've always hated speedboats. They smash your back apart and the whole thing is just, you know, a real nonsense. Oh, God, I've got 2 fucking days of this thing. So we take off, and we're going in and out the rapids. The skipper is very good. This I've noticed. These guys are really, really good boatmen. So I'm enjoying this. First day, after 5 hours, we pulled up at a lovely little hotel right on the river. I'm enjoying this whole experience because the whole river life and the Mekong is the lifeblood of this part. And it borders with Laos and Burma and then into Thailand. It's a very, very interesting part of the world. Day 2, we're off again, and we've got an 8-hour run this day. 8 hours, but we're used to this. So we're screaming, and all of a sudden it rains. But this was rain like I've never experienced rain before. It was like black as that backdrop there. It was just on it. It's called black rain. You couldn't see. Now the guy that was the skipper, instead of slowing up to look through it, speeds up to get through the rainstorm. So we're at top gun here. And we're getting put, we're drenched to the skin. So 2 hours of this, and bailing out, we pulled up, the rain stopped, we dried our clothes, we got our kit out, new change of shirts and things. We've gone on some more, and the rain has hit us again. This time only for 20 minutes, but a very, very severe rainstorm. And he's found our skipper. We were two boats, we were in the second boat. The skipper we've got has found a small lull in the river, just a small kind of piece off, which was fairly flat, but still moving forward with the current. So as he stopped the engine, glug, 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 to refuel, because he had opened up the throttle, he was short on fuel. And I thought, this is better. Silence. I can see the trees, I can see the water, I can see the rocks, I can enjoy myself. This is more like wind in the willows. This is better. So I'm thinking, oh, this is just, and I'm drifting there, just off for 2 minutes, really enjoying the no engine noise. And I heard him turn the key over, and it went, and I looked around, and the kid's holding his head, and there's smoke coming out, there's a fan belt, and an alternator, and a start, and all that, and this has all gone kaput. Now all of a sudden, from our slow little stream that we're in, we've drifted into the main channel. And we're gaining speed and gaining speed and gaining speed. At any minute, a barge is going to come round the corner with a load of cattle on board, and we are going to be matchwood. I saw the kid fiddling around, and he pointed at me, threw me a paddle, and pointed to a rock in the middle of the river. And he went, hey, it's quite obvious, I'm paddling now. And we're already contemplating the swim to the shore. Because I'm thinking, we've got a major problem with that noise that I heard. So we got to this rock, and the guy that was with me, the local guide, we're holding on to this rock by our fingertips, because at least we're static. And the kid has cleared the engine, so there's the engine and the big flywheel. He's gone into a locker, pulled a piece of grubby string out, barefoot got onto the rock, put the string round the flywheel, and I'm saying there's no way he's going to start that engine with that string. And boom! It burst into life. The engine was warm, so we took off. So I have to say that Frank wasn't wrong. Never travel without a piece of string.